Welcome to Frankly Speaking. I'm Michelle Lassay Montgomery at George Mason University, the state university in Northern Virginia. When we think of the visual artist, there's a tendency to stereotype them into a particular mode. Little is actually known about art by the masses, and in a society that's becoming increasingly more technological, artists may become a rare breed. With me today to discuss the visual artist is Jerry Clapsaddle, an artist whose work has received wide recognition and who is also a professor of art at George Mason University. Welcome to Frankly Speaking, Jerry. When most people think of artists, they tend to think of them as a rather rare breed. They've been stereotyped as people who approach life in a leisurely manner. We're not necessarily concerned with the meat and potatoes of life, and who may be primarily supported by family wealth or by wealthy patrons. How has this rather elitist stereotype changed?
Well, for me, it's changed somewhat back and forth. I grew up in Iowa, and the only artist I knew was the mayor of the town. And since he had another job, as well as being an artist, I knew he had to budget his time very carefully, so I had a completely different notion. And since I grew up on a farm and the son of an engineer, I recognized that the different kinds of work circumstances require different kinds of personalities to accomplish anything. Some job situations require somebody who can follow a format that's preset. Another job circumstance, as a farmer's might, has to respond rather intuitively sometimes to weather conditions, things they have no control over. And yet, when I read about what artists were supposed to be like, I saw this bohemian romantic, as you've described, someone who's not too concerned with day-to-day common problems that most people might be concerned with. And I wondered about that, since my only contact with an artist was somewhat different and didn't reveal that sort of personality trait. So when I left to go to school, I found that there were people who seemed to model themselves after that stereotype to call themselves artists. And I found that when they evidence the most extreme personality traits, somewhat playful, irresponsible perhaps, or at least not following the mores of the community, it was almost a substitute for the creative energy that they might have put into their work. And I felt that some of the artists that I admired when I finally met them, when I admired their work first and met them as people later, that they were very workmanlike, that they were no different than my father, who was an engineer. And I think, as I've now been involved in the art world for about 20 years, I find the range of artists as great as a range of people who might be farmers, dentists, store managers. And so you'll find today art that is as demanding as the work of a filmmaker. And I think the extremes of the forms of art, the extreme range of the kinds of art that's being made today allows all kinds of people to be involved.
Can anyone be an artist?
No. I think everyone has the possibility of transforming themselves into artists. Mm-hmm. We all have remarked, or most of us have remarked, about the free expression of some children, or most children, perhaps. And that ability to respond directly from your soul to your environment is something that we're normally taught to avoid in order to get along with other people, in order to fit within the restraints of our society. And so I think as we get older, we become more inhibited in using the full capacity of our potential as a human being. I think an artist has to do just the opposite. I think the artist, when he or she is in the studio or composing or we're up on the stage, has to be able to draw upon all aspects of their personality. And I think, too, that the receptivity of a person has to be developed and kept open so that new ideas and new impressions of the world that is quite vividly taken in as a child is continually taken in as an adult.
Do students come into the program with an impression of what an artist should be? And if so, how do you deal with that kind of impression?
Yes, I think particularly students who have had a fair amount of exposure to art in high school or community art centers, versus student perhaps who came, as I did, from a country 300 miles from any significant museum, or versus a student who perhaps grew up in Washington, D.C., where they could walk to four or five major museums. I think those of us who come from the country or the city have a rather unstereotyped notion of what an artist is. I think people who come from a suburban area might have more of a stereotype. I think primarily because artists aren't so visible. One of our neighbor's wives was a painter, and she made her own support system through her students. But to see Willa's work, we had to go to her house. So we had no context about what art should be like. And we saw art as the extension of her personality. So we didn't have a stereotype, or at least I didn't, until I came east. Also, I think there's a stereotype in literature, unfortunately, which has been perpetuated, perhaps, by publishers and by journalists. It's easier to write about an artist who's eccentric than an artist who's mundane, or someone just like you or me. And I think that's probably true with any profession that has an interest in the public eye. So if you read about a scientist, perhaps, you probably read about a scientist whose personality, as well as their achievement, it's easy to remember sensations.
Mm-hmm.
The quiet, still, consistent voice of a person might not carry through the media as well as that person's work. That person's work may be quite sensational, but the personality might be not interesting at all. So you'll find that people who are known as people in the arts tend to be those people who project a personality that is marketable.
Let's talk a little bit about support systems, and in particular, George Mason's Art Apprenticeship Program. The program is designed to give art students experience in professional work situations in organizations and businesses such as advertising agencies, museums, publication offices, and also experience with professional artists and sculptors. How successful has the program been?
Well, I've just finished reading over the final report of the 18 students who finished the course. And of those students, and they were placed with people, well, individuals, two artists, for instance, two places like the Washington Project for the Arts, which is a museum, alternate space, two commercial galleries, two printing companies, two individual commercial artists, two community art centers. In almost every case, I can't think of one that would not have that student continue on a paid basis if the money was there. Three of the students are employed now full-time as a result of it. One student has a job offer since she isn't graduating for a year that's standing. And she's working part-time in that position as an animator for a film company. We have a couple students who have been working with nonprofit agencies, and that sort of work that they are doing could lead to funding for the agency. So I found that the experience for a student on a very pragmatic basis in getting a job has been incredibly successful. I don't like to predict that. I did a pilot program at the University of Maryland, and 9 out of the 12 were employed afterwards in either that position or one very similar as a result of their experience in their apprenticeship. The value to the university, I believe, is not merely to have a student who can graduate here with a job, but I think if we can place our students in areas that we can't teach or that are extensions beyond the areas that we can teach, In new technologies, for instance, we then have a basis for dialogue with, say, computer technology in the arts that can help us develop our curriculum. We can see where we can provide to those students who are entering the fields the kind of academic background that can better prepare them, because we see the experience, we're in contact with the experience by supervising the student, by visiting the site, and by evaluating their performance on the job. So I think by placing students, while they're students, in working circumstances in the community, in this case I'm calling the community, the arts community in Northern Virginia and metropolitan Washington.
George Mason is becoming a cultural arts center. This semester began with a great faculty show that got excellent reviews. And currently there's a student show that's up in the Fenwick Gallery on main campus. Two other student shows were opened up this month, one at the Metro Gallery and one at the Fairfax City Hall. Jerry, you want to tell me something about the two shows that are scheduled to open?
The two shows that are going to open early in February, Fairfax City Hall and at Metro Campus, are in response to the request for student art. In the case of Fairfax City Hall, this is the second show. They had won last spring and offered a Best of Show Award prize. And I guess they felt the response was positive. I know the students had a very good experience for them to organize this show totally on their own. I think as a learning experience for our students, exhibitions, as many as we can arrange for student art, is very important. I think to take that art out of the classroom, to have it seen and scrutinized by a public that is close to the public that might ordinarily see their work in a commercial setting or perhaps a museum setting, is crucial. I think that is a important part of their transition out of school. Also, to take that work as an object and to clearly deal with it as something that's going to hold its own on a wall, physically, if it's sculpture, that it stands, that it's beyond the idea that it becomes an object worthy of purchase, perhaps, is important. I think for the public, too, it's an education to see the kind of student art that's being produced, how that art might reflect the values of the community or the values of the students. I think the dialogue that can occur can be quite high, perhaps even more free dialogue than that of the so-called professional artist. I think one does approach student art a little differently. I've found that the response on campus to our student show was fairly positive. And in fact, the demand for student art to be placed on campus permanently as decoration for public spaces or offices has been so consistent that last month we opened a show just on that theme, student art available for loan. And we'll be reinstalling that at the end of this month, putting up new works. I think that the university can be a laboratory for visual ideas in that sense, that we not only just use art to decorate walls, that we perhaps produce some art that might be on the forefront of visual thinking. And if we can use the campus walls and the campus spaces for that, then we're truly a university, and we're truly dealing with ideas that can be communicated visually, and the ideas that are perhaps transformed into artworks, and that the dialogue that the public has, that public that lives on campus, the students and the faculty, and the public that visits our campus, the community outside the university, can gain from that experience.
Thank you, Jerry. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University. For information about our guest, please call area code 703-323-2138. I'm Michelle Lassay Montgomery for George Mason University, the State University in Northern Virginia.